Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for today and all that you have done in our lives, bringing us this far this year. Lord Jesus, we know that you have a plan to take us to a deeper knowledge of you. My Father, my God, my prayer is that everything that has acted as a hindrance will be lifted today in Jesus' name. Let the light of your glory begin to shine in our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. This morning, I want to speak to us about what the Lord has led me to title, Turn on the Light. Can you just tell your neighbor, say, turn on the light. Say, switch on the light, please. Turn on the light, man. The light of your life will shine today in Jesus' name. Can you open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 13? The book of Matthew chapter 13. That is where God is going to be speaking to us from. And I'm going to read from verse 18 to 23. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 18 to 23. I read. Jesus here was speaking to his disciples. He took them aside. Not the kind of message he gave to the general public, because he spoke in parable to the general public, and then he chose to explain the meaning of the parable to his disciples when he took them aside. And he said, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy received it. Yet had he not root in himself, but dread for a while, for when tribulations or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. You will bring forth fruit in Jesus' name. You will bring forth more than 100-fold. Like I said, the message is titled, Turn on the Light. I just discovered that the default position is darkness. The default position is what? It's darkness. And light costs something. In other words, what I'm saying is this. If you leave everything without any intervention, what are we going to have? darkness. If you just allow things to run, no intervention, nothing whatsoever, you have darkness. And to have light costs something. When you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, the Bible said, or says, that the earth was without form. It says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. In other words, the earth was in darkness, was in confusion, until God intervened. In other words, the default position of the earth was darkness. If God had not intervened, the earth would have been in darkness and in confusion. And I want to let you know that God has given us His Spirit in us and has given us the ability to intervene in certain situations to bring light into it. When light is absent in the life of a person, what you are going to have is unbelief. And as we go through the sermon and go through some passages in the Bible, you will see some of the evidence for this. So where there is darkness, you are going to have unbelief. You are going to have faithlessness. You are going to have discouragement. You are going to have defeat. You are going to have depression. You are going to have ignorance. You are going to have poverty, sickness in various forms, stagnation, confusion about life, not knowing which way to go, not knowing what decision to take, and a host of other things. When we don't have the light of God shining in us, through us, these are the kind of things that are symptomatic of such. I want to let you know that there are emitters of light. And of course, without telling any of us, we know that God emits light. Jesus and His word emit light. And you emit light too. When the condition is right, you do what? You emit light when the condition is right. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible makes us to understand that God is actually light. He said, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So, what the Bible is telling us this morning is that the sum total of the gospel is that God is what? Is light. That after all said and done, whatever you hear Sunday in, Sunday out, on Tuesdays, read the tapes you listen to, that the sum total of everything is that God is what? Is light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. In other words, we serve such a righteous God. We serve such a holy God. We serve such a pure God who cannot behold unrighteousness. And the thing we know is that wherever the light of God shines, things change. All the conditions that I gave you that are obtainable where there is darkness, they change. Unbelief change to believing. Faithlessness change to faithfulness. Discouragement change to hope. Defeat change to victory. Of course, you become lifted up in your spirit. Ignorance is no longer part of the story. You become one who has the knowledge of God. Everything will start to change. And because God is light, whenever you call upon His presence in a particular situation, and His light shines into that situation, things automatically just turn around, like I told you. Can somebody open to Micah with me? The book of Micah, chapter 7. Micah, chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. If you get there before me, please, you can help me to read, because we've got a bit of ground to cover. Micah 7. Praise the Lord. Let me look at this version here. Okay, that's 7 and 8. I think you read 8 and 9. Okay. It says, "But as for me, I will look to the Lord, and confident in Him, I will keep watch. I will wait with hope and expectancy for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise." Listen to this. "When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light to me." When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light to me. Sometimes we sit in darkness by reason of what is going on in our lives. What is the source of your light? What is the source of your hope in such situations? Micah said, "When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me." He's going to be the way. He's going to be the solution. He's going to point me in the way to go. So God is light, and He can be your light in darkness. Of course, Jesus and His word, they are also light. Open with me to John chapter 8, verse 12. John, the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus was speaking there, and He talks about His role as the light. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So He says, He is the light of the world. He is the light that can light your path. One thing of significance there is this, is that He says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." In other words, Jesus is walking in front and you are following Him. He's not saying those who walk ahead of me will not walk in darkness. He said, "Those that follow me." Those that do what? That follow Him will not walk in darkness. Sometimes we walk ahead of God. In our decisions, in our choices, we walk ahead of God. When we walk ahead of God, we will walk in darkness. But when we follow Him, follow after Him, when our life is patterned after Him, He says we are not going to walk in darkness. And of course, Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word of God will show us the way. And the same Psalm 119 verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Note one word there, entrance. The entrance of the word of God, it gives light. In other words, when the word of God enters into your life, when the word of God enters into your marriage, when the word of God enters into your work, the light of God will shine in that place. How does the word of God enter into your marriage? How does it enter into your life? When the operation of your home, the operation of your life depends upon the word of God. In other words, the word of God is showing you the way and you are following it and your decisions are based on the word of God. That is when the word of God has entered. You allow the reign and the rulership of God in those domains of your life. And let me tell you something. He said the light of God will shine into it. If you have a business where, you know, all the papers are very dodgy, all the things we do are not, you know, upright, the light of God cannot shine there. It cannot. But God wants His light to shine. Do you know that the Bible says a three-cord rope is not easily broken? That is a home, a marriage, where the entrance of the word of God has been allowed. In other words, here is God. I'm holding on to Him. You are holding on to Him. And of course, we are holding each other. That's a three-cord string. It cannot be broken. In other words, what you do to me or do for me, it's not necessarily based on my ability, on how well I'm able to repay you, but on how well you understand the word of God and His instruction to you. Then the light of God will shine in that home. Of course, lastly, you as an emitter of light. And when I was preparing this message, the first thing that came to my mind is this. Of course, we know that indeed we do emit light, right? We agree. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid." You are the light of the world. Remember, Jesus, we've said God is light. We've said Jesus and the word of God, which are the same thing, they are light. And Jesus himself said, "I am the light of the world." And the same Jesus is now saying, "You are the light of the world." When I now look at it, I quickly go back to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. We know it. We are familiar with it. What the Bible says concerning the heart of man. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I looked at man here and man in Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. And I asked myself, how did man go from being desperately wicked to being the light of the world? What brought about that change from being a desperately, you know what desperate is? Have you ever been desperate before? If you have ever been in a situation where it is a matter of life and death, you know what desperation is. Those of us from that part of the world, we've seen an animal that we had to slaughter. So you know what a desperate animal is like. Or you have seen maybe a rabbit. You are driving at night and a rabbit is facing you. And it knows it's facing danger. Do you see how desperate a rabbit gets? With all the eyes popping out and it's really shaking and breathing like that. That is desperation. And the Bible says the heart of man, in other words, is pulsating, is breathing wickedness. And then the Bible now says that same man has been transported to a position where he begins to emit light to the world. What is the magic? Of course, Jesus, his word, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in the inside of us. But do you know what? Not everyone, and not all the time, do we emit that light if we are not careful. Because if the conditions are not right, we are not going to emit that light. Of course, as you can see from what I've said, that light is not originally our own. Remember the first statement we started with, that the default position is darkness. So, when the conditions are not right, we will not be able to emit light, and the default position is going back to its state of desperate wickedness. That will not be your lot again in the mighty name of Jesus. So far, I think I've built my case. Let's go to the parable. What's the relevance of that? How do they link up? In the parable, let's quickly go back to Matthew chapter 13 and just take a look at some of the things that we are going to consider. It says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. In other words, when the word comes into a man, when the word enters into a man, the light of God begins to shine and show forth from that man. And the Bible now makes me to understand that there is a possibility that that source of light in you can be taken away. In fact, some other version actually says that the enemy comes, Satan comes immediately. Immediately. And takes away the word. That is the seed that is sown by the wayside. You know what? Something is going by the wayside. It's really not, you know, it's not intentional. It's not, there's no planning. There is no expectation. That is what happens when we come to church without expectation, without planning that we are going to meet with God. And the word comes like that, and the enemy comes to steal it immediately. In other words, you must be asking, where is the enemy? How can he steal immediately? Does that mean that the enemy is sitting with you in church? When you are hearing the word and he's stealing it away immediately, does it mean he's sitting in church? That's a possibility, isn't it? I've shown us before, in Job chapter 1, he said, when the children of God showed, you know, when they came, and he said, and Satan with them also. He came with them also. As you hear the word like this, he begins to sow doubt into your mind. In form of spirit, he sows doubt into your mind. He sows unbelief into your mind. Sometimes he walks through people in form of distractions, in form of comments that are against what God has just said is possible in your life. comments that contradict what God is saying. Sometimes it's in words that denigrate what is said or even the speaker. In fact, sometimes it could be in form of jesting. Instead of allow you to chew over the word and allow the word to take root, some people will make light of the word of God, and as such, you leave the place not blessed. You just walk out the way you walked in. Because something has intervened or something has come in between you and the world. That is the world that is by the wayside. How many of us believe that the parable of the sower is for people who come to church? How many of us believe? Praise the Lord. It's for us. It's not for unbelievers. Somebody said, look, the word of God is not for unbelievers. I hope you know that. What the unbeliever needs is Jesus. After the unbeliever has accepted Jesus, the word of God now becomes relevant to his life. If you have not accepted Jesus, no matter how much of the word you know, it's no use to you. So it's talking to us. That's the first set of believers or people who come to church. That the word comes because of competing things in their lives, in the immediate environment. It does not allow the word to take root. And so when we go out and they say, what was said this morning? You say, oh, yeah, no. What? Okay. Yeah, I can't even remember. Of course, what you cannot remember cannot be of use to you on the day you need to call on it. You may be the most brilliant student. On the day of exam, if you don't remember what you are taught, how do you pass the exam? Somebody said, you are either spiritual or superficial. You are either one of those two. You are either spiritual or you are superficial. You cannot be both. When you allow the light of God to shine in you, you will take root in God. You become spiritual. You are no longer superficial. Let's look at the second group of people. Verse 20 and 21. It said, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and with joy received it. Yet, had he not root in himself, but endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Praise the Lord. The second thing that happens to us is what is called a test of adversity. So when we hear the word, a test of adversity comes. And he says, when that test of adversity comes, a lot of people, what happens? They become offended. Now, let's quickly look. So there are two things here that we need to look at. There are tests of adversity. Okay? Things are not going on well. And I see that a lot. Honestly, I see that a lot, particularly those of us who are immigrants. When we first come to a place like Australia, you find out that you struggle with a lot of things. You know, place where to stay, you know, jobs, help, all sorts of things. These are tests of adversity. They test the word of God that is in you. And of course, a lot of people may not survive this period. They become angry with God, become angry with everyone else, become discouraged. Sometimes we even go back to Egypt. We begin to manifest behaviors that we had given up long, long ago. Now, this is a test of adversity. And of course, there's the other group, the offense group, people who become easily offended. Someone said, the commonest reason why people leave church is because of offense, isn't it? It is. And honestly, when you look at it, many people don't leave church because of doctrinal issues. How many people do you know leave church and say, because, oh, I left that church because I know that what they are doing there, I looked at the Bible, it's against the Bible. Many people don't leave church because of that. They don't. They leave church, why? Because of the way somebody smiled at them. Because of the way somebody frowned at them. Because of the way they were greeted at the door. Because the lighting was poor. Because something was not, there were not many people there. Because of, let me tell you, things that are irrelevant. Things that are irrelevant to where we are going. That is the reason why people become offended. Because they have not been recognized the way they want to be recognized. We don't look at the real thing. That is offense. And of course, when you pass the test of that stage, there's the next stage. Usually, those who pass that stage, before we go to the next stage, usually, those who pass that stage, they are people who they become, you know, when offense comes, when things happen, they become dedicated, they pray, they study the word, they do everything. And then, the result of that prayer, what happens? You have breakthrough in your life. You have what? Breakthrough in your life. That takes us to verse 22. He said, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. That's the next stage. So, you've passed through. You are no longer by the wayside. You've passed through adversity. You have prayed. God has answered your prayer. And the next stage is a stage of what is called prosperity test. Prosperity test. Somebody said this is God's own test. Because the Bible says God does not test you with evil. So which means with good things God can test you. Praise the Lord. Prosperity test. So this is where God actually tests you. Answers your prayer. Things are flowing. Things are going very well. You have permanent residence. You buy a house. You drive choice cars. You have big fat savings. In fact, you are insured to the teeth. You have LCD, LED, plasma, red cell TVs. You have DVD, Blu-ray, Red Ray, Pink Ray, players, and all sorts of things. And you know what? Your life starts to be full of excuses. 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 Why are you not in prayer meeting? I watched TV till late last night, and so I couldn't wake early. I'm serious, isn't it? You know, there was a footage show. I remember the drama that the men had here, Manchester United, and so on and so on. And I was watching football match last night, and so I didn't wake up. You see, I had to sleep in the afternoon. That's why I cannot come. That is prosperity test. The prayers have been answered. Everything is now provided. You know what? As part of our excuse, why didn't you come? You see, the children said they didn't want to. You know, the children were sleeping and they said they didn't want to to be disturbed. Oh no, the children said they wanted to go to a party. Let me tell you, when you are going through adversity tests, if those same children were sleeping, you wake them up. You drag them along. You shout on them, say, let's go. Let's pray. Let's read the Bible. Is that not true? When the result comes of answered prayer. You see, my wife did not agree. My wife said we should go to that place. Some of us brothers prayed day and night before God gave us a wife. Praise the Lord. Or some of us sisters prayed day and night and God gave us a husband. But now, when the prayer has been answered, we say, let's go, let's go. You see, my wife says, that this one is just too much. We are not interested. This is what the Bible refers to as the deceitfulness of riches. It takes our focus away. You know, some of us become so comfortable, we even say we don't even believe in going to church. You can pray at home, and God will answer my prayer. I don't have to be in church. We've had people say that, don't we? But whose idea is the church? Whose idea? God. If God knew that by yourself you can make it, he wouldn't have said, go to, you know, get together and fellowship. It was his idea. It's not man's idea. It's not anybody's idea. It's his own idea. Because he knows that alone we are very, very vulnerable. And of course, verse 23, the people bearing fruit in 30s, in 60s, in hundreds, folds. In fact, it's possible to bear fruit in thousand folds, in million folds. That will be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. In other words, if we are already bearing fruit, we don't have to stay at the level we are right now. We can turn on the light and allow the light of God to shine. How do we turn on the light? Open with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. That's where I'm going to read. Listen to this very well. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorify him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became this. The secret of turning on the light is here. This is where the secret of turning on the light is. Tell your neighbor, say, turn on the light. Praise the Lord. The first thing the Bible tells us there is that, he said, they do what? They knew God. Do you know God? Do you know God? You know God. You know he exists. In fact, you have made him, many of us have made him our Lord and our Savior. So we know God. There is no excuse. We know him. So it's not about people who don't know God. So we know God. Right? Good. The next thing is this. Verse 21. He said, but they glorify him not as God. Another word for glorify him is esteem him. This is the secret by which we can succeed in our Christian race. To glorify God as God. To esteem God as God. In other words, between the knowledge of man and that of God, you choose that which is God's. In other words, when God speaks into your life and man speaks, whose report will you believe? Do you know that each time we don't believe what God says about us, we are not esteeming him as God? That indeed, if you believe that he's God, can you remember some of the songs we sang this morning? How we said he's so great, he's so big. If indeed we hold him in that position, esteem him as God. Let me give us an example. If, say we go back to our country, say Nigeria for example, you are there. The president of that country says, now that you have just come back, I'm going to get a limousine to take you to your village from Lagos International Airport. And somebody you don't even know comes to you at the same time and say, look, I have a better limousine. I'm going to give you a limousine that will take you from this airport to your village. Who will you believe? Why? Why? Because he has the wherewithal. He has the power. He has the authority to back up what he has said. In fact, he has the authority to make sure that the car of that other guy is deregistered. And he will not be able to move. So you esteem him as the president because he had the power to back up what he has said. Do you esteem God like that, knowing that he had the power to back up what he says concerning you? Between his word and the word of someone else, which one do you choose? My wife will tell you, when things are not going well, as it happens in church, it's not only in this church, everywhere. Things will be going well, and then the enemy will come sometimes and cause some confusion. When things are really, really upside down, and she tells me and says this, oh, but you should have done it this way. If I have heard from God, I tell her, she's here. I'll tell her, I said, who do you want me to believe? You want me to believe you or believe God when God has spoken? Do you know the danger in it sometimes is this? Do you know the danger in it? Okay. When you choose to believe something else, somebody else, something else in place of God, the danger in it is this. You may price that thing very well. Just like I told you that the president can deregister that vehicle. God can deregister that thing you hold so dear. In other words, nothing should compete with God in our lives. And the light of God will begin to shine. Not even people's condemnation and comments upon your life. If the Lord says you are this, who else would say you are not that what God has called you to be? We get so fearful. We get so fearful about people's comments and their positions on what God has told us. Between God and man, I will choose what God has said. Because I know that God can make that person disappear. If it is in the plan and the purpose of God to bring that thing to pass, and it must come to pass, God can make that thing disappear. if it's going to be an obstacle. Turn on the light. Let me tell you something. There's this story I've been wanting to tell us. Maybe I should tell us this morning. Some of us know. What is this area called? Where this church is located? O'Connor. Praise the Lord. Jonathan, you are not allowed to say anything. Who knows the story about Aunt Tife, my wife, others? I've told them the story, so you are not allowed to say anything. Who knows the story about O'Connor? Do we know the story about O'Connor? Good. Yes. Yes, tell us the story. And what happened? He committed suicide before he could see the end result. Because people criticized him that the project was too bogus. How can you pipe water on a hill? It's about 600 kilometers. How can you pipe water on a hill and expect results? And it actually took 3 days for the water to flow when they opened it. So everybody thought it was a failure. Unfortunately, the guy had died. And then water started flowing. When you listen to people, that's what happens. He had killed himself. And then water started to flow. They said it was not possible. It cannot happen. No way. There's no... No, nobody has ever done that. In fact, it is said that I think they require about 76 tons of steel to make the joints and the bolts and so on. And so it was such a big, massive project. So the journalists were writing that it was a waste of money, it was a waste of time, it's, you know, all sorts of things. He was also involved in building Fremantle Harbor also. So he, in desperation, in defeat, in discouragement, he just went and took his life. Recently, the Senate decided that they are going to, I mean, apart from all the things that have been named after him, that they want to honor him further. But, I mean, he died prematurely. He could have done more. So who do you listen to? Do you listen to God or do you listen to man? The other thing that can cause, let's look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. To back up what I've just told you, if you want the light of God to shine in your life, if you want the light of God to shine in your life, glorify him as God. Glorify him as God. When a decision has to be taken, nobody can replace God in your life. Not your wife, not your husband, not your children, not your work. No, nothing is good enough to replace God. Genesis 21:23. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. What lightened the city? What lightened the city? Eh? The glory of God. When you glorify God, God will lighten your life. When you praise God, he will lighten your life. When you exalt him, when you glorify him as God, he will lighten your life. You have no need for man-made solutions. You have no need for cutting corners. You have no need to be like your neighbor. You have no need to use the same device that other people use. He said, for the glory of God lightened it. So in other words, wherever the glory of God reigns, the light of God will shine in that place. That is how a man moves from being desperately wicked to a life that is a light to the world. Glorify God. He said, in all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him. When I say everything, I mean everything. Everything. Many of us drop off at prosperity testing level. You may even be a preacher and God uses you to heal headache. And suddenly you become, your head is so swollen. And I'm telling you, the individual may not go past that point again in his life. If you stop glorifying God and you start to glorify yourself, yes, I did this. You remember King Nebuchadnezzar? He said, my hand had built this. He had to be humbled. That will not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Lastly, we are not doing badly for time. Let's go back to Romans. That same Romans chapter 1 verse 21. And I will show you something there. Another secret to turn on the light in your life. It says, look at the second part of it. He said, neither were thankful. Neither were what? Were thankful. The light of God cannot shine in a life of an unthankful person. Remember, the signs of the end times is unthankfulness. What does that mean? God has done 100 things for you. He's done 99 things for you. The one remaining to make it 100, you are still expecting it. And to you, it's like the world will come to an end because that is the only important thing. You can't recall that he's been good to you 99 times. Just this one thing. You are desperate. You will do anything. You will not glorify him anymore because of this one thing. But what about the many, 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 many things he's done in your life? I get this a lot with my kids. They like to use the word never. Daddy, you've never done this. And I said, but what about this? He said, except that one. And I said, what about, except that one. But you said, I've never. He said, I've never done this for you. Never. You've never. And we're like that towards God. It's like every other thing. It's not, you know. But can you just trust that he who did that one can do what is coming ahead of you? David said, that same God that delivered me from the hands, you know, of the lion and the beard, he will deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. That thing that is coming ahead of me, that is coming towards me, that situation, this circumstance that I'm confronting at this time, the same way God delivered me that last time, he will deliver me right now. And the light of God will start to shine. Instead of discouragement, there will be hope. Instead of faithlessness, there will be faith. Instead of being put down, you'll be lifted up. Praise the Lord. Can we just rise on our feet? He said, neither were they thankful. The year is coming to an end. Just count your blessings. Think of the things that God has done. This past 12 months, think of the good thing that God has done. That same God who has led you this far, he will see you through 2010. He will do great and mighty things in your life. When I think of the goodness, so can you just take this song with me? When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my very soul starts shout, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, of the Lord, and all he has done for me, I'm very so sad, shout, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, of the Lord, and all he has done for me, my very soul shall shout, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Can you just begin to thank God for what he has done in your life? Over the past 12 months, just begin to thank him. Begin to thank him for his faithfulness, for his goodness towards you, for saving you, for delivering your children, for watching over you. What about the many accidents that have occurred? You have not been a victim. Your life has not been taken away. What about the sickness and afflictions of life? The Lord has delivered you. Why don't you just thank him? Just give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. Begin to thank the Lord. Ah, yes. Oh, yes. Begin to thank him. For he's so good. He said, for they were unthankful. They knew God. And they glorify him not as God. Begin to glorify him. Begin to glorify him. Remember that situation you are facing. Remember your current circumstance. Glorify God. Lift God up above that thing. Remember his words to you on that particular thing. Begin to elevate God above that situation in your life. And I'm telling you, he's a faithful God. He will do it. Elevate him. It doesn't matter what you are going through. Elevate God above it. That is what you know of God. He is so true. He is so good. He is so faithful. There is none like him. Begin to elevate the Lord. Begin to elevate him. Begin to praise his name. Begin to glorify him. Begin to magnify him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are grateful, Lord. Even as a church, we are grateful for having taken us this far, for having blessed us with so many blessings, for having been so kind to us. We lift you up, O Lord. We bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Lord, even as we have heard your word, we pray that the light of your glory will shine in our lives in Jesus' name. Let the light be turned on from today. Father, we will no longer walk in darkness. We will walk in the light of your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name we pray.